I have a very early memory of when I first arrived here that came to mind just then, when I decided to sit quietly with my eyes closed at the end of a reading at the 8 o'clock service, and I heard a whisper from the back saying, "Has he fallen asleep?" So I know not to do that for too long, but there will be moments of quiet in the service as well as joy, I hope, today. There won't be time for really notices at the end of the service, so I really wanted to plug Christian Aid Week, because life goes on here wonderfully. Please, one more time, and then one more time next year, and then one more time the following year, with those who can find it in themselves to do this house-to-house street collection. Please sign up at the back of the church afterwards. We're just so aware this is quite a thing to do, but it's one of those things that makes a difference to people's lives. So please, if you can possibly do a bit of street collecting for Christian Aid, sign up at the end, and Elizabeth and Sheila are organising that. Otherwise, all the ongoing life of the church is in the notice sheet. Do read it and do note what's happening. So we are here, and huge mixed emotions for Susie and I, as there will be for many of you. Joys of new starts, but sadnesses of endings and farewells. There will be time in the middle of the service which will be quieter and poignant, and there will be silences, and it's not because I'll have fallen asleep, it's because we need those spaces. But also, I hope, much joy and celebration, and it may all go according to plan, or it may not, we'll have to see. We've tried to put together a service that reflects the joys of having been here, the shared ministry that we've been part of, but I do put a note in the introduction, there is no way we have tried to cover everything. We have just managed to get a selection of things that remind us of aspects of ministry and life that have been here. But it is not comprehensive. We just have to assume there was so much more. So really fantastic that we're here for one last time together from our point of view. Thank you for coming and being with us. It's very special to be together in this way. So let us enjoy and celebrate. And if we need to shed a tear, we will do that as well. We begin by standing to sing hymn number 300. Oh, just let me say one last thing. So it may be like this all the way through. Sorry. At the end, we're going to celebrate, and we'll be singing that famous old medieval hymn, "We Are Marching in the Light of God." And we're going to process, and we're going to process like we've never processed before. So the choir will lead us out as normal. And we really invite anyone who wants to join the procession and march with us in the light of God just to follow on. And we'll process around the church for as long as we feel we want to. And do just join in, and we'll see what happens. When we've had enough, we'll go out the door and we'll move into whatever is next. Food and more celebration. I think everything else will flow more or less according to plan. So, you now may stand to sing "Tell Out My Soul," number 394, 394.
Thank you.
In the name of God, source of all being, eternal word, spirit of truth. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Christ our Saviour has been raised to new life. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart.
As we stand, let us keep a moment of quiet reflection.
Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you feed us with the living bread. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And so as we stand, let us pray that we may live the risen life. God of the deep soil and luxuriant growth, you call us from our shallow selves to find our depth in you. May we abide in him alone who can teach us who we are, Jesus Christ, the true vine. Amen. Please sit for the readings and prayers.
This wonderful ceremony of morning prayer. I've been coming for the last 14 years or so. A time of stillness and joy. However, I'm restricted to the main Magnificat, which we say at times of the church's high holidays. This is the Song of Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For you, Lord, have looked with favour on your lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you, from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever.
Cantate Domino, cantate, cantate Domino, canticum novum, las eos in ecclesia sanctorum, in ecclesia sanctorum, cantate.
says on there that there's an extract from a scene. And it's an extract from several scenes. Very short, though, really.
As a child, Jack Lewis was a rather solemn believer. The following is an extract from scene 3 of Through the Wardrobe Door, with Jack and young Jack.
The most important thing that befell me at Wynyard School was that I began to seriously pray and to read my Bible and to attempt to obey my conscience. But by the time I left, I was desperate to get rid of my religion. Like everyone else, I'd been told as a child that one must not only say one's prayers, but think about what one was saying.
Amen.
Are you sure you were really thinking about what you said?
Yes, I think so.
As well as you did last night?
I don't know.
Well, very well. Try it over again.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Have you got that bit in your mind really clearly?
Hallowed be thy name.
Because you can't go to bed until you've done it properly.
Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come.
You didn't really mean that.
Thy kingdom come.
Come on, start again.
Our Father.
I dreaded bedtime. Had I pursued the same road much further, I think I would have gone mad. But about the same time, conscious cause of doubt arose. No one had ever attempted to show in what sense paganism prefigured Christianity. The accepted position seemed to be that religions were normally a mere farrago of nonsense, though our own, by a fortunate exception, was exactly true. Why it was so differently treated, need I at any rate to continue to treat it so differently, I was very anxious not to.
Amen.
In January 1911, I was sent to Cherbourg Prep School at Malvern. I was by no means unhappy, but I had very definitely formed the opinion that the universe was in the main a rather regrettable institution.
It's term, and holidays, and then term, and then we work, and then we leave school, and then we work until we die. And then it's term, holidays, and then we leave school, and work until we die.
The authentic joy had kind of vanished from my life. But this long winter broke up when I discovered Norse mythology. Pure northernness engulfed me, a vision of huge, clear spaces hanging above the Atlantic in the endless twilight of northern summer. Remoteness and severity. I was returning at last from exile and desert lands to my own country.
In the play, this was linked with Lewis's story, The Horse and His Boy, where a young lad, Shasta, runs away to go north to Narnia with a talking horse called Bree.
We'll head north!
Oh, hooray! I've been longing to go north all my life.
Of course you have. That's because of the blood that's in you. I suppose you know how to ride.
I've ridden a donkey.
Ridden the what? So you can't ride. If you can't ride, can you fall?
I suppose anyone can fall.
I mean, can you fall and get up again without crying and mount again and fall again and yet not be afraid of falling?
I'll try. You are a dreadful height.
I'm a horse, that's all. Funny to think of me, who has led cavalry charges and won races, having a potato sack like you in the saddle. Off we go, for Narnia and the North.
North at last.
Pure northernness engulfed me.
As a young adult, Jack Lewis became an atheist. He loved the great myths, but argued hard against theism. Then something began to crack. The following extract is taken from scene 7, Conversion.
A letter to Owen Barfield. Terrible things are happening to me. You'd better come on Monday at the latest, or I may have entered a monastery.
In The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, a cynical boy called Eustace is turned into a dragon, but something is about to happen.
That night, a huge lion came to Eustace. The lion led him to the top of a mountain where there was a well, like a very big round bath. Eustace wanted to get in, but the lion said,
"You must undress first."
The odd thing was that before God closed in on me, I was offered a moment of holy free choice. In a sense, I was going up Headington Hill on the top of a bus, and without words, I became aware that I was shutting something out. Or, if you like, that I was wearing a suit of armour, as if I were a lobster. I felt myself being there and then given a free choice. I could unbuckle the armour or keep it on. I chose to open, to unbuckle.
You must undress first.
So Eustace started to scratch himself, to peel off his dragon skin. But there was another skin underneath.
I felt as if I was a man of snow, at long last beginning to melt. The melting was starting in my back, drip, drip, and presently trickle, trickle. I rather disliked the feeling.
Eustace scratched and tore a second time, but it was no good.
Would God be reasonable? Not the slightest assurance on that score was offered to me. Total surrender, the absolute leap in the dark was demanded.
You will have to let me undress you.
The very first tear he made was so deep that Eustace thought it had gone right into his heart. And when the lion began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything he had ever felt. But there was also the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. Then he caught hold of Eustace and threw him in the water.
My arms! I've got my arms again and my face!
It would be nice to say, from that time forth, Eustace was a different boy. To be strictly accurate, he began to be a different boy. There were still many days when he could be very tiresome, but the cure had begun.
In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God. My conversion at this point was to theism, not Christianity. However, I started attending my parish church at Holy Trinity on Sundays. I was acting in obedience to a sense of honour. Though I liked clergymen, like I liked bears, I had little wish to be in the church as in the zoo.
What changed Jack's thinking more than anything else was a long conversation late into the night that he had with J.R.R. Tolkien about myth, which led him to reconsider his earlier beliefs.
The arguments that Lewis used for and against belief in God through his life were then expressed in the play through a sword fight between the High King Peter and the cynical King Miraz in the story Prince Caspian. As they fight, they shout out their arguments. The fight ends as follows.
I believe in no religion. There is absolutely no proof of any of them. And from a philosophical standpoint, Christianity isn't even the best.
Quick, Miraz, kill him, kill him now! Kill him. Quick, quick!
This is not a religion, nor a philosophy. It is the summing up and actuality of them all. It is myth become fact. The word, flesh, God, man.
These are words of faith, not reason.
Letter to Warren, October 1931. It was a remark of Harwood's first suggested to me that God might be defined as a being who spends his time in having his existence proved and disproved. But he would not argue about it. He only said, I am that I am, I am.
The play ends with words from Jack's sermon on the weight of glory and Aslan's words on the last page of the final Narnia book, The Last Battle, after the children have stepped through a stable door into a new Narnia.
At present, we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. The books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them, it only came through them. And what came through them was longing, for they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never visited.
The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning.
As musicians move into place, let us stand to celebrate with them. Merry Don't You Eat. Many will know this. Please join in all the way through, but you'll pick it up by the end.
Two, three, four. If I could, I surely would.
Stand on the rock where Moses stood. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, O Lord. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, O Lord. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Mary wore three links of chain. On every link was Jesus' name. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't weep no more. Oh, Mary, don't you weep no more. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. One of these nights, about 12 o'clock, this old world is gonna rock. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Well, oh, Mr. Satan, he got mad. Mr. Soul, he thought he had. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Brothers and sisters, don't you cry. There'll be good times by and by. Pharaoh's army got crowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't mourn. Oh, Mary, don't you weep no more. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Don't think no the rainbow sign. No more water than fire next time. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep no more. Oh, Mary, don't you weep no more.
It's a poem called Mindfulness. As many of you know, it's technically a secular discipline, but actually for those of us who have a belief, it's a way into something deeper. There are days when you come to sit reluctantly, inwardly fidgeting, the monkey mind distracted, skittering about. All you can do is sit, noticing what happens. Returning your attention again and again to the anchor of the breath. Yet sometimes the moment simply enfolds you. Thoughts pass like drifting clouds, unable to disturb the place where silence winds you deep into itself. It doesn't seem to matter whether you struggle or not. So long as you allow whatever is to be as it is and sit with it. That is the unexpected grace.
I believe in the Son. Though it is late in rising. I believe in love, though it is absent. I believe in God, though there is silence.
Dear Lord Jesus, we greet this day with a mixture of emotions, sadness, reflections, but above all thankfulness for the past 10 years that Tim and Susie have shared their life and ministry with here at Holy Trinity. Dear Lord, we are so grateful to have had their company, understanding and compassion in our journey of faith through good times and in times of need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We have been so blessed with all the work that Tim and Susie have been a part of in our parish. For the outreach work at the event in Wood Farm. For the home groups and shared lunches on Risinghurst. For the meals we have shared. For the pram service and HT4U, which has welcomed many children and families into our church community. For the music we have enjoyed with Tim and his guitar and others. For the fun and the friendship created at the Summer Fete and the Christmas event. For the tracks, footprints, 9+ group and lasers, which Susie has nurtured and encouraged. Dear Lord, for all these things, we are so thankful. We pray that we will be able to continue to build on this foundation. Lord, in your mercy. There are so many ideas that have been part of Tim's ministry here and which have been taken out and shared in the community. The live nativity, the dramas that will long remain in our hearts. Mindfulness, talks, discussions, diversity of services. There are so many things to reflect on, to smile about and to remember. We have been very privileged to be part of all this in our church life. And we pray you will guide us in continuing our sharing and our learning and how best we can serve others. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for ourselves now, as together we approach a time of uncertainty in our future here at Holy Trinity, as the process begins for a new vicar. Dear Lord, we pray for wisdom, understanding, and patience as we proceed into this new era. We pray that we will all work together as a church community with fortitude, caring, and listening to each other as we seek a new leader. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, and importantly, we pray especially for Tim and Susie and their family as they embark on a new life and a new ministry. We pray you will walk beside them always, giving them courage, ideas, openings to use their enthusiasm and talents that will benefit others, just as we have been fortunate to be part of for the past 10 years. We thank you, Lord, for guiding Tim to Holy Trinity and allowing us to explore and enjoy and be part of his teaching and ministry. Walk with us all now at Holy Trinity as we, Tim and Susie, travel forward into our future and help us to continue with this wonderful journey of faith. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
So I'd now like to ask Susie and the ministry team to come up for our commissioning. Will you continue on the path of seeking for the truth, not afraid of going to the end of your thoughts?
We will.
And will you continue to seek meaning in the life of Jesus for our day and to live out and share that meaning in the world?
We will.
And will you seek to follow the way of integrity and love, that your lives may be a blessing to others.
We will.
May the source of all goodness, beauty, and truth which has inspired you in these things give you strength, courage, and faith to live them out.
Amen.
May the life of Jesus be an inspiration to you all your days, challenging you in your comforts and comforting you in your needs.
Amen.
May the Spirit of Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy Ones lead you further into the dance of life, that dancing with others, you may plant orchards of fruit-bearing trees.
Amen.
And let's all say together, and the blessing of God, Holy, human, life-giving Spirit, be with you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.
Thank you all. Would you please stand? The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us rejoice and offer one another a sign of peace. Hymn number 365. gifts to the altar, we also bring before God those who are on our hearts at this time. Those who are sick or in particular need: Pauline White, Brian Lawrence, Charles Reed, Alan Carter, Helen, Mary Smith, Frieda Matthews, Lucina Charles, Janet Lever, Una Stevenson. And we continue to pray for Martin Sheldon. Those who have died recently: Richard Baker, Myrtle Field, Mary Douglas, John Rowe, Felicity Edwards, Donald Jacobs. And those whose anniversary of death falls at this time: Edith Clift, Zara Edwards, John Lowe, Jean Dodds, Stephen Charles Cooper, John Guy Tempest Sheringham.
What do we bring to Christ's table?
We bring bread made from many people's work, from another soil, where some
many go hungry. At this table, all are fed, and no one is turned away. Thanks be to God.
What do we bring to Christ's table?
We bring wine made from many people's work, from an unjust world where some live in luxury and most struggle to survive. At this table, all share the cup of pain and celebration. Thanks be to God. May the Lord bless these gifts and all gifts given to the church, that they may be used to bring new hope to the downtrodden and new life to all who wait upon your word. Amen.
So there's a point at which
bells are rung during this prayer, and I want to hear those bells at that point to lift the prayer into a prayer of celebration. Jesus is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
No. Follow the script. Read it.
Why is it right to give thanks and praise?
Let's listen, and we will hear.
Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish.
You give us the sun and the moon and starlit sky, everything that gives us light.
Give us the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, and every plant and tree. You give us friends and families, busy streets for young and old. You give us your love when anyone's coming wrong.
You give us happy times and things to celebrate.
In these we taste your kingdom, a feast for all your children. You made us all, each wonderfully different, to join with the angels and to praise you. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave his life for us on the cross and shows us the way to live. Send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's body and his blood.
Why do we share this bread and wine?
Let's listen and we will hear.
On the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this to remember me." After they had eaten, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." So, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his risen life. As you feed us with these gifts, send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Saviour.
How do we follow Jesus Christ?
Let's listen and we will hear.
Help us, Father, to love one another as we look forward to that day when suffering is ended, and all creation is gathered in your loving arms. And now, with all your saints, we give you glory through Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit, today and forever. Amen. And so let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Hallelujah. Christ is risen and invites us to the heavenly banquet. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. We remain standing for prayer. And turning to page 17 in your booklets, let us pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We who the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit down. So I think I'm in your hands now, but we're going to start with HT4U, Sunday's Club, all the lovely people. Thank you for joining me around the altar. It feels a bit lonely up there sometimes. Lovely to have you with me, gathered.
Hello. We are now going to form a sketch to illustrate the many things that Tim and Susie do for us here at Holy Trinity.
They help run the pram service to help babies, toddlers and their parents learn about God.
Sunday school is where we explore Christianity through drama and fun. We also have a great time and laugh a lot.
Maeve!
What do you want?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Moo!
Hello, this is Sunday Club. Welcome one and all. We'll start off with some pee-pee yuppie with our big, bright, bouncy ball.
Hey! Yes, Helen!
There's stories, prayers we may convey. We might just sing a song. We might act or just act up. Now come on, sing along. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1.
This little light of mine, I can't let it shine. This little light of mine, I can't let it shine. This little light of mine, I can't let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Youth group. Youth group is a place where you can talk about your experiences with God in an open space where no ideas are judged.
Plus, there's eating pizza and toasting marshmallows.
So today we are talking about our experiences with God. How about you start, Pansy?
What did you say? Oh, yeah. I meet him whenever I need him. He helps me get through my exams.
Edward, you next.
I met him in the park. When's my pizza coming?
Eleanor?
I met him on Facebook.
A range of activities are available for the elderly 30-year-olds of this parish. From mindfulness sessions with Tim to drama with Susie, and no, this is not an advert.
We really enjoy these events so we can discover more about everyone's talents and interests.
Welcome to Mindfulness for Short People. We'd like us all to close our eyes. Breathe. Not like that. Just allow yourself to relax. Stop it! We're trying to be mindful!
very relaxed. What can you hear?
These are just a few of the amazing things that Susie and Tim have done for us.
Thank you, Tim and Susie!
Follow that. I'd hope that actually that this speech would not fall to me. I was hoping that Tim's ministry here would continue. However, I should have taken a little bit of a warning from the fact that we had a PCC away day last year and the theme was lay ministry. So I should have been warned. I've prepared a speech actually, but a lot of it has already been covered. There's been so much we've talked about today in this service about Tim's ministry. I will say it, but I'm repeating a lot of what's happened already. We're looking back at over 10.5 years of Tim's ministry, 5 of which I've had the privilege to serve as a warden. My predecessors have commented that the warden's monthly meetings have been times when we've seen the development of ideas over a period of time. We discuss practical issues like whether the boiler is behaving itself, but also we've been able to debate pros and cons of pursuing certain plans, like getting the finances on a firm footing or how we use this building. But we've seen other developments, and these developments have already been talked about. We've seen Sizemen become welcomers. We've seen Sunday School become Footprints and Tracks and now Sunday Club. We've seen the Hillel Weekend develop from a Sunday School event to actually a whole church event. And we've also seen the birth of HT4U, which has now become a monthly fixture in our calendar. Tim has been involved in wood farm initiatives, and since becoming area dean has encouraged us to greater cooperation between parishes, which has created a closer link with Blackbird Lees. Tim's developing interest in mindfulness has encouraged us to has encouraged the development of a popular group in the parish, and the books that he's written. He's encouraged a whole variety of music and worship style, as we've heard today, and the folk style that has been taken out to Archway and other parishes. More recently, we've seen the ministry team develop, with Chris joining us as family worker and Anne moving to pastoral care coordinator. And in this area of life, I think may well be a lasting legacy of Tim's ministry here. I've received comments from parishioners who have really appreciated all that Tim and Susie have done for this parish, saying how much they will be missed. And this is illustrated in the importance of their ministry as a couple, because Tim without Susie is only half of the equation. And where would we be without Susie, her energetic ministry among us, her drama skills, as we've had illustrated today, and the voices of passion, which we revisited at Easter. She's brought to us her vibrant, creative personality and her wonderful laughter, which will be greatly missed. As church wardens, we found Tim to be a very supportive and has always taken time to listen to us, and have found him to be very kind, positive and helpful vicar. Peter's commented, however, that there's one matter that they've never been able to agree on, and that's Tim's lifelong support of Manchester City. Lively discussions have taken place between Tim and some members of the standing committee related to their football affiliation, mostly over my head. However, I think it does illustrate the affection and lovely working relationships that have been developed over the years and which will be greatly missed. But now we must look forward with heartfelt thanks as a church to them for their ministry among us and ask for many blessings on them in their new ventures in mindfulness. We'd like to say a big thank you to Tim and to Susie, wherever she is. And we'd like to present them with some gifts, which are going to be brought forward now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Should we open it? Right, we should open it.
Right, what we've got here is lots of cards, fantastic flowers. Oh, alert, that's a card with all your signatures in. Fantastic. Good luck from all of us. That's gorgeous. I can read that a bit later. Okay. Cards. A painting.
Ah, here we go.
A painting of Holy Trinity. Fantastic. I've been asking Helen throughout my time here, can I have one of those paintings? Because there weren't many left. And she said, not until you leave. So it could be, you know, that she's driven me out. I had to leave to get one of those beautiful paintings. So thank you for this. This last one needs explaining because it's not the actual thing yet. I was asked to, if I would like a painting by Robert Wright, one of his abstract paintings. And this is a sort of rather, you know, as best as we can do, or that has been done, photocopy of it. So you can have a look. I think I'm trying to remember the title. I think it's The Burning Mystery of God's Presence. The Burning Mystery of God's Presence. And it's the most fantastic painting. It's on exhibition in St. Giles Church, if you want to have a look at it before we get it. But when the exhibition ends, we get the painting, which is rather lovely. Yeah. So that's what you've bought us. Thank you very, very much for that. It's fantastic. And all of these. And there's more things. Right, okay. Right, you better open that and bear with us. Okay, wow, fantastic. There appears to be leftover money, but... That is brilliant, brilliant. Because now that I don't have an income, it rather kind of matters even more. Wonderful. So I've got theatre tokens, which is brilliant. You're happy with that?
Yeah, I'm very happy with that.
Theatre tokens.
Fantastic.
We'll save this so that we can go to the opening night of Susie's production in the. In the Playhouse, when it happens. How about that?
You never know.
You never know. And what have you got?
I think this is the singing group, isn't it? Yeah? And it says, goodbye is too good a word, babe. So we'll just say fare thee well.
Which, for those who don't know, and you should, is a quote from Bob Dylan. I had a bet with Carl a while ago that he would, I don't know, can't remember what you said you'd pay me for every time I managed to weave a Bob Dylan quote into a sermon without anybody noticing. There have been there. I think you owe me a lot of money, Carl.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's fantastic. Thank you. You've had enough from me. I've probably said all there is to say over the last few weeks. Reference my a series of sermons, my kind of talk at the AGM. I've said what I have. I mean, just thank you. It's been really special being part of this community for these years. We've learned a lot. We've grown a lot. It's been a really significant part of our lives, and thank you for being part of it with us in so many different ways. So we're not going far. We will bump into one another, but I won't be part of Holy Trinity anymore. So there's sadness in that. But thank you. It's been special. But all good things have to come to an end. But Susie.
I thought I'd better say something. First of all, thank you to the children. That's fantastic, and young people. I really enjoyed that. That was lovely. I particularly like the nappies running up and down. That was really cool. I've written it, and I wrote it this morning, so it will be a bit untidy. But I just want to say thank you for your kindness and friendship. And I'm actually going to begin with, because of course, whenever you're somewhere 10 and a half years, some of it is great and some of it isn't. And so I just want to start with something about what isn't, and then I'm going to go for what is, because I think you always end up on a positive note. Being here has been great, but it has not always been an easy place. As a vicar's wife, and those who are vicar's wives in this congregation will understand, it's not always easy. I've seen Tim hurt badly and have not been able to do or say anything. Most of you don't need this advice, but please remember for the next vicar that they are human. They're not expected to be better people than you. They're not closer to God to you, and when you hurt them, they bleed. When I think back, however, there has been so much good in this last 10.5 years, and I have really appreciated so much. You're just a great lot. There's such a wonderful width and breadth of you. And I won't remember everything. I just sat this morning and allowed this mosaic of memories to come to me. So please remind me of stuff afterwards. I quite enjoy that. I remember evening celebration services, and especially one we did with creativity and balloons, and Jeffrey tingling, joyous in the middle of it. I remember Taze services and healing services and Hill End and the event at Wood Farm, and tracks and footprints, especially great picnics at Shotover. We had some good picnics. Youth club, and I particularly remember an evening worship where we sat in the dark in this church listening to Jonathan Vickers play solo guitar. Absolutely stunning. Thomas Group, Christian Aid Collection with Kevin Masters. We've been doing that. Hooray, well done, Kevin. So do it, it's a great experience. And I met Pauline White on that way when we did that. Creating nativity plays with all ages and people showing up to support. Running the Tyndale play in a nearby church and suddenly realising there were other people who might help when I tried to do the whole thing myself. Then a whole team for the C.S. Lewis play and the four-day celebration. That was just stunning. The garden, the community events. And I have this memory of putting a children for sale 50p only sign next to Henry and Eleanor at the end of one of the summer fetes. sitting in the church on Good Friday. Sitting in the garden yesterday, watching the monk jack deer. And all those wonderful community people who showed up for the community nativity, that was stunning. It's here over the last 10 years that I have truly woken up to my life. Woken up in many, many ways for which I'm very grateful to God and to mindfulness, to you and to this place. I've woken up to being a writer. I actually allow myself to say that. I'm also grateful that I've woken up to the fact that God is not a man. God is not a father. She is the source and root of my life. And I want you to particularly to thank the morning prayer people for allowing me to call God she. It felt so very, very naughty. And I cannot begin to tell you how healing that has been for me. When we arrived, my children were 14, 12, and 10. They're sitting here now, and they are 24, 22, and 21. Lara went to Windmill School, and they all went to Cheney. I'm very, very proud of them. You may not have seen them so much in the church, but they really enjoyed the house and the garden. I'm near the end of my ramble. I want to say thank you very much. Thank you to all of you. Thank you for those who have loved me and for those who have challenged me. I think it's brilliant. Thank you. And I just want to read you a poem I wrote 30 years ago before I married Tim. Yeah, but probably about 30 years. I can't remember, 1988, 1989. It's quite short. And it's called Beyond the Door. Let's step beyond the door, you and I, to lands not found before. Vast, thrilling, frightening, good. Let's explore. Let's step beyond the door, you and I, to discover the unknown, to the stretching, waiting mysteries, where we would not go alone. I got given this T-shirt when Tim was a curate, and it feels like the right moment to wear it.
Oh, wow, that's gorgeous. Let's put up the leaves here.
Thank you.
Okay, so where were we? There's more. There's more. I think you get a blessing. So would you please stand? Are you going to bring me the blessing? Bring me the blessing. I don't know the blessing. Right. Let us pray for God's blessing upon us all in our onward journeys. Spirit of truth, lead you into all truth. Give you grace to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and strengthen you to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
So, Tim and Susie and all of you, go in the joy and peace of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.